This is a picture of two young boys living in Darfur, a place where there is horrific, atrocious, vile genocide. They were living there with their sister, unable to get away without any transportation. Hardly the day-to-day necessities, having to fend for themselves. And when I saw this picture, it reminded me of a popular saying, "He's not heavy, he's my brother." And this morning I want us to take a little bit of time and think about this. As we think about bearing one another's burdens, as we think about taking the load off of our brethren and helping them. If your Bible is still open to Mark chapter 8, as we've already had our scripture reading this morning, the fact is, every Christian in the audience this morning has a burden. Some of our burdens are heavier than others. Our burdens may be heavier at one time and lighter at another time, but all of us have a cross to bear. And I want you to take just a moment and think about your cross this morning. And then I want you to take a moment and think about the cross that the person beside you is bearing and the people behind you and in front of you. And think about those, especially members of this congregation, of those who are among us that you know have some very difficult burdens to bear right now at this point in time. And if you're visiting those in congregations where you are members, and as I thought about this lesson, I asked myself and I questioned, why is it that I hesitate and procrastinate and sometimes neglect to bear the burden of my brethren? The fact is, you have a burden and I have a burden. We all have a cross to bear and we all need help. Just as Jesus needed help bearing His cross by Simon of Cyrene, you and I need help with our crosses also. As Rick already read this morning with the Lord's Supper, if you would turn with me back over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and beginning in verse 21... we must remember that Jesus bore our cross. And in verse 21, Peter says, "For you have been called for this purpose. Christ also suffered for you." And as we think about bearing one another's burdens, we must think about the fact that our burden was borne by Jesus Christ. And verse 24 says, "And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross." As we think about bearing one another's burdens, we must be aware of the fact that Jesus bore our burden, and without someone bearing our burden, it would be impossible for us to be here today, to be Christians, and to live in heaven. Isaiah says in chapter 53, verse 4, "Surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried." And can you think this morning, as you see Jesus Christ going to the cross, that He was bearing your burden? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, God wants us to cast our cares and our burdens upon Him. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." God knows that we have this burden, we have this cross to bear, and He wants us to help bear it. Just as He wanted to help Jesus. As Jesus was in the garden, as He was praying to God that perhaps this cup could be taken away. And He prayed that three times. As sweat was coming down as blood and God sent an angel there to minister to Him. God wanted to help Jesus with that burden, but yet Jesus had to carry it. And so He wants to help us with our burdens. In just a moment, we'll talk about three reasons the burdens of our brethren are not heavy. And one way that God helps us is by giving us one another to help. God wants us to help one another. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. The Apostle Paul says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone." God wants us to help each other. And as we go to the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and chapter 10, that's one of the benefits that we have here this morning, is to help one another as we stimulate one another to love and good deeds, as we have Jesus Christ as our sympathetic high priest who is pleading our case upon God's throne. And turn your Bibles with me over to Galatians chapter 6. And verse 2. And here Paul says, "Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." Thinking about this, there's many scriptures we could talk about. James chapter 1 and verse 27, "Pure and undefiled religion is this, to visit widows and orphans in their distress." And we have some widows here. And I'm going to be honest with you right now. Our widows need to be visited. And I know there are many in this congregation that do a very good job of this. But I tell you what, I can look at myself and say, "Alan, you need to do a better job. How about yourself? When is the last time you visited one of our widows?" When is the last time you visited one of our widows? When is the last time you went to the sick? When is the last time you went to the hospital? Think about that. We could talk about James chapter 5, verses 16 through 17, to pray for one another so that we are healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I'll tell you something else. I need to improve in this area also. How many times a day do you pray for the sick? How often do you get a bulletin, look on the back, reminded of those who have asked for our prayers? How many times do you just totally forget about it and the whole week goes by and you forgot? And I can ask those questions because I ask them of myself. Although it's hard to forget about those in our congregation who are sick, those who are on the back of the bulletin, it is very easy to forget about them. And how many times have you just forgot about them? Three reasons our brethren's burdens are not heavy. And I ask you to think about these things. Not just to make us feel good, but to stimulate us perhaps to do a better job at bearing one another's burdens. Turn your Bibles with me over to Philippians chapter 1, and we'll look at chapter 1 and chapter 2. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." And then chapter 2 and verse 13. "For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work and to do this for his good pleasure." And the first thing we need to talk about is that God is the one doing the work. He is working through us, that we are his instruments for doing this. God does not come down out of heaven and literally go to somebody's house and visit. God does not literally pick up the telephone and call a widow who is lonely, who just needs someone to talk to for a little while. What does he do? He uses you and I to do these things. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. As we go to the Word of God and we study and we learn and we challenge ourselves, as I hope you are challenging yourself this morning. Chapter 2 and verse 13, the end of that verse, as the Apostle Paul is writing and is talking about going and preaching to these brethren, that they received the things that they said, not as the word of men, but as what it really was, the Word of God. And he says, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Now, if I can really challenge all of us here this morning, as I have really been challenging myself, especially this week, thinking about these things, if we are being selfish with our time and our ability and our energy and the things that we're doing, and we have plenty of time to watch our favorite show, but not time to pick up the phone and not time to go and visit a house or not time to go to the hospital. I mean, just once a week or once every other week or something such as that. What are we saying about ourselves? If the Word of God works through us who believe and I'm not doing the work, what does that say about myself? Turn your Bible with me over to Ephesians chapter 3. Perhaps you, like me, can see where you can improve. And I suppose it's going to be that way. As long as we live, we're going to be able to challenge ourselves and improve and be better Christians year after year after year after year. Through the study of God's Word and as it works through us. Now, we need to realize this. As you see the things that you need to change, God is the one who gives you the strength to do that. One of my favorite passages, I know I mentioned it last week, but it's this here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. And the Apostle Paul says, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. And I tell you what, I've been challenging myself this week to make some decisions and to make some different decisions. And as I try to make those decisions, try to make those changes, try to do something different, it is God who gives me the strength to change my schedule and do something not for Alan, but for somebody else. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Brethren, as I mentioned last week, there is power, the power of God working in you. And all we have to do is make up our mind, I'm going to do it, confident that God is going to give us the strength to change our lives. And all of this, verse 21, is all to his glory. Let me ask you this. If God's doing the work anyway, if God is the one that gives us the power and gives us the strength, why doesn't he just go on and give the person who needs something, the sick person, the lonely person, the person carrying the cross, why didn't he just go on and give them enough strength and enough power so they don't need anybody? Could he have done that? He could have. Why did he choose not to? Well, perhaps let me suggest to you that he chose not to do that because he wants us to need one another and help one another. That he wants us as a church to be those who are helping and encouraging and carrying the burdens of one another. And what he does, he gives you the strength to help somebody else. That is His desire. My brother is not heavy because God is the one doing the work. It's not me. My brother is not heavy because I love my brother. Now turn your Bibles with me over to John chapter 13. And verse 35, you're probably very familiar. You probably remember that very well, what the Lord says. But verse 34, listen to this. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 34. Now let me challenge you. Do you love your brethren as much as Jesus loves you? Jesus, as you well know, went to the cross for you. Jesus wore the crown of thorns so that you could wear the crown of righteousness. Jesus was scourged so you didn't have to be. Do you love your brethren as much as Jesus loves you? And I'll tell you something. I'm ashamed of myself sometimes. When I get caught up in what I'm doing and I forget to make a phone call, and then all of a sudden it's too late. Well, it's too late to call now. And do you think I feel so guilty that I make sure that I do it the next day, and the next day goes by, and you know what? It's too late. My challenge is to love my brethren as much as Jesus loves me. And as we do this, verse 35, then it is a message to the whole world that we are His disciples. Yesterday, Beth found out that her sister-in-law's mother was very ill and probably going to die. She dropped everything and drove to Orlando, middle of the day. And I thought to myself, that is an extremely good example of loving another person. Something happens, you drop everything, you change your whole schedule, and you drive wherever you've got to drive to be there for them. And then I think about myself. Can't pick up the phone. Can't go 5 minutes out of your way. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. My brother's not heavy because I love my brother. I want to bear those burdens for my brother. It's not going to be hard. It's not going to be difficult for me to do that. Notice this love that Peter talks about. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 22, since you have an obedience to the truth, purify your souls for a sincere love of the brethren fervently. Now, I challenge myself again. Do I fervently love my brethren? Fervently is to be on fire. It's to be hot. Do I have a burning desire, a burning love, a burning concern for my brethren? What's your answer? Turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, and then I'll give you another illustration. The Apostle Paul, talking about being a living sacrifice. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Devoted. And we know what this word devoted means, don't we? A man gives his life to a woman and a woman to a man to be married together. To put the other one first. They have children, and they're devoted to these children, and they put the children first. I was joking with Andrea the other day and saying something about something I'd done for or something like that. And so I told her, I said, I'm sacrificing for you. I've been sacrificing for you since the day you were born. I'm going to sacrifice, I guess, for you as long as you live. That's what devoted is all about. Now let me ask you something. Are you devoted to your brethren in brotherly love? Are we? The USS Pueblo, Navy spy ship, was captured by the North Koreans. 82 surviving crew members were thrown into captivity. In one instance, 13 of these men were put together. They were made to sit rigidly around a table. And a North Korean soldier came in and brutally beat the fella in the first chair. Then he left. The next day, another soldier comes and brutally beats the guy in the first chair, the exact same guy that had got beat yesterday and went away. The third day, another soldier comes in and brutally beats the guy in the first chair, the same guy that got beat the previous 2 days. And then he left. If you can imagine being one of the other 12 who were there, watching the one be beat 3 days in a row. One at a time, they changed seat with the one who had been beat. And they all took their turn, and they all took their beating to bear the burden of the one who had been beat 3 times. And so that all 13 could live. I think that's a good illustration of what it means to bear one another's burdens. I think that's a good illustration of what it means to have brotherly love for someone. I think that's a good example of fervency. I think that's a good example of being devoted. And then I look at myself and I say, well, how do you compare? How do you compare? Are you fervent? Are you zealous? Are you devoted? If we care about people enough, if we care about brethren enough, we're going to be eager to bear these burdens. We could talk about a number of stories, a number of parables. We could talk about the Good Samaritan. And you remember the story with that? How the priest and the Levite went on the other side of the road and how the one Samaritan stopped. And what Jesus said, the difference with him was that he had compassion and that he was merciful. Compassion and mercy. And we could talk about the prodigal son and how he came back and his brother was all upset because his father had killed the fatted calf and all these things like this. And the father was forgiving. And the fact of the matter is when we're not doing for our brethren as we ought to do or as we have opportunity and we're just being selfish with our time and with our resources and all these things, it's just because we don't care, isn't it? He's not heavy because I love him, because God is the one doing the work, and because I'm doing these things for Jesus. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew 25, a scripture you know so very well. Matthew chapter 25. And you know, I used to really struggle with what in the world is Jesus talking about here. He's talking about judgment, and he's saying you're going to be judged by the way you treat other people. And I'm saying, what in the world is this all about? Beginning in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Judgment, in part, is going to be how we treat our brethren and whether we love our brethren, truly love our brethren, with fervency, devoted, committed to our brethren. We may be calling one of the widows from church. We may be visiting the sick. We may be doing whatever it is to help carry a burden. And do we see that we're doing that for Jesus? Let me ask you this. If Jesus was in the hospital, how many of us do you think would be there within the first week? But Brother Robert Dennis is in the hospital, perfectly able to talk and communicate and laughing and joking, but he's stuck there because he has to go through this physical therapy. And how many of us do you think get there in a week's time? Young people included. Many of you got cars. You go to all sorts of places. You ask your parents, you want to go somewhere, they take you. We have to realize that when we do this for one of our brethren, we are doing it to Jesus Christ, just as if he was there himself. He's not heavy. He's my brother. Think about these things. It is a wonderful thing to be a Christian. And we have responsibilities. We have a fantastic congregation. Loving, kind, working. I could tell you stories about what folks in this congregation have done, and it's just phenomenal. But the fact is, let me tell you, every one of us can improve just a little bit. Will you not challenge yourself and do that? Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's because we have each other, in part, to bear that burden. Will you not try just a little harder to bear a brother's burden? We're going to extend the gospel invitation, number 285. If you'd like to turn your songbooks over there. 285. Zion's call. Zion's call still goes forth. None of us here are perfect. I hope every person here has challenged themselves, been honest with themselves, been sincere with themselves, and stepped on your toes a little bit. I hope you've done that today. None of us here are perfect, but Zion's call still comes forth. And one way of looking at it, we can be perfect today, made perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from our sins. If you're not a Christian, you can have that today. And the Lord will add you to the church, make you part of this brotherhood, where you have these brethren here to help you and to pray for you and to help you bear your burden, and you'll need that help. And then you can begin with us striving to be a better Christian every day. If you have any desire or need from the gospel, won't you step to the front now? We'd like to help you as we stand and as we sing.